Okay, everybody ready? It gives me a great pleasure to kick off the fifth annual Yankee Doodle Drive Against Hunger today. This event is very important to Lieutenant Governor Reynolds and I. Each day, many Iowans are faced with the reality that they have food insecurity, do not have enough to eat. We want to help those Iowans who live below the poverty level and who suffer from food insecurity. Our goal is to collect 30,000 pounds of non-perishable food donations to the Iowa Food Bank, or the Food Bank of Iowa. With your help and the help of our community partners, Bank of the West, Dahl's Food, and the Des Moines Symphony, we can make this happen. Beginning today, you can drop off your non-perishable donations at any metro area, Bank of the West, or Dahl's Food location. On Wednesday, July 3rd, you can drop off your donations at the Des Moines Symphony's 20th annual Yankee Doodle Pops, which will be held here at the West Terrace of the Capitol. That's always a great event that attracts thousands of people. As you can see, we've already begun to collect items here from the governor's office. And now I'm going to turn it over to the Lieutenant Governor.
Well, thank you, Governor Branstad, and thank you for joining us this morning. We want to thank the Yankee Doodle Drive Against Hunger. It's a wonderful campaign that raises awareness and collects much-needed non-perishable food items for the Food Bank of Iowa. For every dollar donation, the Food Bank of Iowa can provide 4.5 meals. So that is 4.5 meals for every dollar provided, and that's a pretty good deal as far as I'm concerned. Please join us as we make a marked difference in our community. We are certainly doing our part here in the governor's administration. We have organized a drop-off location today here in the governor's office at the Capitol. So I encourage you to drop off non-perishable food items, and please help us be a part of this very worthy cause. And I want you to know that not only this, but I am doing my part as well. So we are going to start by contributing and encouraging everybody to keep it up through the Yankee Doodle Pops. So now I would like to invite Jody Beller from Bank of the West to the podium.
Hi, I'm Jody Beller, and I'm with Bank of the West. Bank of the West has been involved with Yankee Doodle Pops for over 9 years, and we've been involved with the Drive Against Hunger for 5. As a matter of fact, this year we are expanding our collection of food throughout the whole state of Iowa because we realize it's not only central Iowa that has an issue with feeding the hungry, it's the whole state. This year the drive is starting earlier than ever. You can drop your food items off at any Bank of the West bank, and we are participating in this because it's very important to realize that there are kids right now that are not eating because the school programs are not in session. We are collecting the particular needs that we have are high protein items such as canned meats, tuna fish, peanut butter, and 100% fruit juices. We're also, once again, Bank of the West will be donating a $10,000 check to the Food Bank of Iowa. As you can already see, we've made some of our donations this morning to the food bank, and now I'll turn it over to Margie Hawks, who is with Dahl's Foods.
Thank you, Jody. Yes, my name is Margie Hawks, and I'm very proud to represent Dahl's Foods as their ambassador as we support Yankee Doodle Pops and our food drive for the fifth consecutive year. You know, Dahl's has been a pillar in this community since 1931, and our philosophy today is the same as it was then, to serve the needs of this community and the families within it. We've expanded our product line to meet the budget of any family, but we would be remiss if we didn't also serve the families that are less fortunate. We partner with the food bank twice a year to try to fill that warehouse. We do it at this time of the year because, as Jody said, school is not in session, and so the need actually increases because children are not getting breakfast and lunch at school. And then we again combat hunger in November to try to feed the families around the holiday and get them through the harsh winters that we do have here in Iowa. Purchasing and collecting food at your neighborhood Dahl's to feed those in our community, in our state, begins today. So stop by any of our 13 Central Iowa Dahl's stores and purchase a ready-made bag for $5. Some of those items are in here. It includes two cans of tuna fish, a can of peanut butter, a bag of rice and a can of green beans, or while you shop, pick up some non-perishable items and drop them in the bins right there at our Dolls stores. The Yankee Doodle Pops concert and fireworks are free to our families, so we all need to do our part so that the Food Bank of Iowa can continue to feed other families that are less fortunate for free. Thank you. And now I'd like to introduce Sophia Ahmad with the Des Moines Symphony.
Thanks, Margie. As Margie said, I'm Sophia Ahmad. I'm with the Des Moines Symphony. And on behalf of our music director and conductor, Joseph Junta, the gifted musicians of our symphony orchestra, our talented Symphony Academy faculty, our dedicated volunteer board of trustees and foundation board of directors, and our staff, the Des Moines Symphony is thrilled again to help organize and participate in the 5th annual Yankee Doodle Drive Against Hunger, a symphony of caring. The mission of the Des Moines Symphony Association is to enrich, educate, and entertain our community by performing great orchestral music. This mission is what guides our organization and has enabled us to continuously serve the Central Iowa community for the past 76 years. This mission is why each year we produce and perform the Des Moines Symphony's Yankee Doodle Pops concert right here on the grounds of the Iowa State Capitol. While this is Iowa's largest single-day concert event and a favorite free patriotic musical evening for the estimated 100,000 people that attend each year, this concert and fireworks spectacular is richly enhanced by our participation in the Yankee Doodle Drive Against Hunger. We are pleased once again to designate a portion of our concert space to allow for a food drop-off location on Fink Pine during the event. Anyone who donates at least two non-perishable food items at the 20th annual Yankee Doodle Pops on July 3rd will receive a discount coupon for a Des Moines Symphony 76th Anniversary Masterworks concert at our home at the Civic Center in Des Moines. This is our way of letting the community know that we are indeed a symphony of caring. Thank you, and now Carrie Miller with the Food Bank.
Thank you, Sophia. Good morning. I'm Carrie Miller with the Food Bank of Iowa. I'd like to begin by thanking all of this year's Yankee Doodle sponsors and the governor and lieutenant governor for leading the drive against hunger. Today, more than 408,000 Iowans, one in eight, are food insecure, meaning they do not have the means to obtain adequate food to maintain a healthy and active lifestyle. What's even more alarming is that one in five children do not have enough to eat. While these numbers are staggering, they do not really tell the story of hunger. And I'd like to share two quotes with you this morning. We are on a fixed income, and sometimes we do not have money for food. The food we receive means we eat rather than going without. All I would like to say is thank you and God bless. This is from a client served through one of our partner food pantries. A volunteer packs cans and boxes of food into paper sacks for a single mother, her face drawn with desperation. Her young son touches her arm as it cradles one of the sacks on her way out of the food pantry, and he looks up at her with an innocent gratitude and says with a smile, "Oh, good, Mommy. We can eat tonight." All of us can make a difference in the lives by participating in the Yankee Doodle Drive Against Hunger. Beginning today, you can drop off donations at any Bank of the West branch or any Dolls store. You can also bring your food or financial contribution to the Yankee Doodle Pops concert on Wednesday, July 3rd. Volunteers will be on hand to pick up your donations. For the members of the media here today, each of you can help make a difference with the drive against hunger by promoting the food drive through your respective media channels and to let the public know about the event and the impact it will have on the lives of those struggling with hunger. Thank you.
Well, thank you all very much, and now we'd be glad to open it for your questions on this subject. Well, this year, unlike last year, it's a one-time appropriation that's to be matched by at least as much in private sector contributions. I have been a strong supporter of the food bank Going back to my first year as governor, 1983, we've already been working on our food drive among state employees. We had a, we had Made Rights and a special event earlier this spring. We're going to be continuing to intensify that effort between now and the Yankee Doodle Pops concert. I'm hopeful that we can do a good job there, and I think it's obviously much more likely that I will approve the appropriation this year because it does require that match, and it's a one-time appropriation. That's the Bank of the West mascot. That's the Bank of the West mascot. I think it's also kind of associated with the state of California, but we'll forgive that on this occasion. Are there other questions on this? I do want to thank all the organizations that are involved. This is a great opportunity for the public as well as state employees to contribute to the food bank. We know that the Yankee Doodle Pops concert attracts thousands of people, and so this is a good opportunity to come and enjoy this free concert, but also to make a contribution to help others at the same time. So thank you all very much. Thank you. Lieutenant Governor and I would be glad to respond to questions on other subjects as well today. Well, as you know, the family has expressed concern about the sentencing provisions that we have in present Iowa law that automatically provide a reduction in the length of the sentence and then the plea bargain situation that occurred in this case. And I think it is appropriate that we review these provisions, especially as it affects violent sexual predators or bad risks. The parole board, to its credit, three times turned this individual down for parole. So they felt that he was a high risk, and they chose not to parole him. But unfortunately, under the law, he could only be held so long, and he served out under the present law, which automatically reduces the sentence to less than half. He was able to be released. Well, I would want to carefully review that. I would point out we were at 0.13, and then we went to 0.10, and now we've gone to 0.08. We have made significant progress in reducing drunk driving in the state of Iowa. Whether this is an appropriate additional step or not, is I think we'll want to get more information and carefully review and study what kind of impact this would have. But and I think we most recently extended the 0.08 to boaters, mm-hmm. as operating on motorboats as well as automobiles. Oh yeah, we can get you the information over the years, and there has been a continued reduction in amount of fatalities related to operating motor vehicles under the influence of alcohol. But I think we can probably get you a progression of information as to what's happened over the last 20 years or so. Other questions?
What's your timeline on finishing work on the budget?
Well, of course, we have a 30-day limit, and so we're going to be completing all of this within that 30-day timeline. I think it's basically this week and most of next week. June 22nd is the deadline, so we will have it done before June 22nd. But we're carefully and systematically reviewing all bills and all items in appropriation bills. And so we will, in due time, in a timely way, make all of those decisions.
Has anything jumped out so far that it looks like it's not going to?
Well, stay tuned. We will keep you informed, we promise. Other questions?
Showing up in public
Well, I have a kind of a standard answer. The only poll that counts is the one they take on Election Day. I'm really deeply humbled by the broad base of support that we have from the people of Iowa. I think it's a tribute to the fact that we've worked in a very collaborative way with both parties in both houses of the legislature. Lieutenant Governor and I have worked very diligently on a focused agenda that includes property tax relief, property tax relief, education reform, our goal to be the healthiest state in the nation, and reducing the size and cost of government. I think most Iowans feel this is why they elected us, and that we've been working hard to accomplish those goals. And obviously, we've had to accommodate the concerns and the differences of the General Assembly, and we've been able to accomplish many of the things that individual legislators and the two houses have on their agenda as well. No, no, no. I've always said the other party should choose the person they think is their strongest. But listen, I'm a very competitive person.
I don't know if you've noticed. He's a little bit competitive.
You know, I'm not going to try to choose who they pick. But I do love to campaign. I'm a people person. I love the state of Iowa, and I'm appreciative of the honor the people have given me to serve them, and I want to do the best we can, accomplish as much as possible, working at it every day. Yeah, we're going to do it in Linn County in the Speaker's District, because I want to give Craig Paulson some real credit. He's, I think, done a great job as Speaker of the House. He's been a really good ally for us to work with, and without his leadership and his tenacity, I don't think we would have gotten that accomplished. Of course, we had to have the cooperation of Senator Gronstall and the other side, too, and we appreciate that. But at the Speaker's request, we've chosen to sign it in Hiawatha, Iowa.
Is it presumed you'll approve the earned income tax credit?
I intend to improve the entire bill. This was a delicately worked out compromise that meets priorities of both Republicans and Democrats, both the House and the Senate. Most importantly, it's going to reduce the tax burden for taxpayers in the state of Iowa, property tax and income tax. I think it's a win-win for everybody. I'm honored and proud to sign it, and we'll be signing it in Hiawatha, Iowa.
And will you have bipartisan legislators?
Certainly, absolutely, just as we did for the education reform. None of these things could have been accomplished without broad-based bipartisan support. We are appreciative of Senator Gronstall and his leadership on the Senate side, as well as Speaker Paulson. We're happy to choose this. You know, there's a lot of people in eastern Iowa, so it doesn't hurt to do some things over in that part of the state as well.
Unless Speaker Paulson decides to run for higher office, I guess this would hurt.
Well, you know, I guess it is what it is. Yeah. Well, Iowa is an agricultural state, and the jobs of the future, a lot of them are going to be in the whole biosciences area. One of the things I'm really proud of what Craig Lang, in this case, did as chair of the Board of Regents is helped us select a new president for Iowa State University. And Stephen Leith comes from a background in research and agriculture and understands how important that is. And we think having people on the Board of Regents that are not only business leaders who understand and are committed to our universities and our alumni of the universities, but also understand the importance of growing the Iowa economy and looking to the future. Well, I think the fact that he served 12 years in the Senate and was a president pro tem of the Senate is a very big positive. And Larry has also been very involved in the Marshalltown community in many business and charitable organizations. And I think the reaction from Senator Danielson endorsing both Larry McKibben and Milt Dockovich for the Board of Regents, I think is a good indication that we're going to have broad-based bipartisan support for these nominees. I don't think we're going to see a replay of the politics that were played in the Senate last year. I think that was unfair and unfortunate to the nominees, and I believe that the people I've chosen are very well qualified. They have tremendous backgrounds, and you know, Larry McKibben's a graduate of the University of Northern Iowa and the University of Iowa. He also did some work as a graduate student assistant at Iowa State. Milt Dockovich lives in Waterloo and is close to UNI, but he is a Iowa State University graduate. He's got two engineering degrees from Iowa State. And by the way, I found out in the interview, he played Cy for 3 years while he was at Iowa State. So he's pretty hardcore cyclone. Yeah, and he's an engineer. Yes. Will be confirmed, yes. You know, we consulted with Senator Gronstahl during the session. We did not want these two very capable, qualified individuals to be collateral damage because of some of the partisanship that was going on the regents' appointments. So I withdrew them at the time and then made an appointment after the session. So people have had a chance to cool down, and I think we've had a very successful bipartisan end of the session. I think hopefully that'll set the tone for continued cooperation going forward.
Governor, on Friday you indicated in Iowa Press that you changed your position on the gas tax.
No. I haven't changed my position at all. So I want to clear up any misunderstanding. What I acknowledge was the reality that because of the spike in the increased cost of gasoline, there was not public support for raising the motor fuel user fee. I believe, in light of the situation, and in light of the fact the federal government is going to require vehicles to have higher and higher fuel efficiency, and more people are choosing to go to electric vehicles or hybrid vehicles, and now we're even seeing trucks converting to natural gas or LP, we're going to see a continued decline in the revenue that would come in from gas and diesel fuel taxes. I believe in light of that, it's appropriate to look at other sources of revenue for the road use tax fund. I do recognize there's going to be a need for additional money in that fund. I do want to compliment, though, Paul Trombino and the tremendous job he's done. He's identified over $40 million of ongoing savings that's going to provide more money for the road fund already in what he's done since he became the director. We need to continue to look at more efficiencies at the city, county, as well as the state level, and I think we need to examine other alternatives. Other funds like the Rebuild Iowa Infrastructure Fund, it's unlike the gas tax, it's a growing source of revenue. Now, it's been used for other purposes, but I guess I want to not rule anything out. I want to spend the next several months looking at and examining what the best options and alternatives are to provide additional funding for the needs of our roads and bridges in the state and doing without raising taxes or fees. Yeah, I guess what we're saying is, well, okay, let's go back and say how much money was coming into the RIF fund when it was established, how much money was coming into the road use tax fund. Let's go back and review that, and let's update the formula and decide what makes the most sense. So I guess what I'm saying is, let's think outside the box. Let's recognize we do have an infrastructure problem in our state, and how do we best address it? We do have that fund. Before we had that fund, we had no fund for vertical infrastructure. Now we have significant money there. Now, unfortunately, Governor Culver took $55 million off the top for 25 years to pay for his iJobs bonds. Unfortunately, we're in the midst of paying that for the next 20-some years. But that comes out of that road use, that comes out of the RIF fund, the Rebuild Iowa Infrastructure Fund, off the top. I don't think there's been enough time for people to examine it. And first and foremost, we are not making a proposal.
No.
We are just at this point saying, let's start the process of examining other options. You know, the people have been focused on the gas tax for 4 or 5 years, and they've gotten nowhere. Public sentiment, you know, from the Iowa polls, 2-1 against it. And when gas prices go to $4 a gallon, people are even more upset. They don't want to pay more for gas for their vehicles. And a lot of people are still hurting, and the cost of commuting is great. So we need to look at other options. I think the public understands that. It's time that some of the other folks understand. Maybe, I think the public is ahead of the politicians on this issue. Well, it ain't election year or non-election year. Where has the gas tax been for the last 25 years? It ain't going to pass. I mean, it's pretty obvious when you have 2-1 public sentiment against it, and neither house of the legislature is willing to even bring anything out of committee. You think they're going to do it in election year when they didn't do it this year?
All right, great. Thank you.
And I think probably both know that's not likely to happen.
Thanks.